Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out, church. And if you would go to about the middle of the Bible, throw it open and just hold it there. No, I'll tell you where to go. Go to Acts chapter 5. Let's try there. Yeah, y'all can tell I'm raising my son right, huh? That was a good one, Joe. Praise God. It's a Father's Day. We'll have a great service here, so fathers be here. I want to go on and continue from where I left off last week, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time to review because it just takes a long time because I get into what I reviewed on, and then I get to preaching what I reviewed, and then it just seems the service just gets longer and longer, and I just keep going on and on, and so because I just don't ever want to be quiet. So anyway, you just have to get it. You can always go and always make sure you can go to the Waterhole website. You can find the last week's message, watch the video. It's just like you're there. You can eat popcorn the whole time, you know. Always thought I could fill up the church more if we had stewardesses coming by, sending popcorn and peanuts and cokes and all, you know. Well, y'all were sitting here, maybe y'all would stay longer or something. But anyway, that was a bad idea. My wife wouldn't let me do it. Cleaning ladies didn't want to do it, so. But, you know, my heart breaks. Through the week, I'm a little different than maybe some pastors, but through the week I'm working. I'm out talking to people. I'm seeing people. I'm in the middle of a lot of different things, and I see people, and I see marriages hurting right now. I see families hurting right now. I see a lot of sickness. I see a lot of things going on, and my heart breaks for people because without Jesus or without some sort of a understanding of God in your life, people have no hope. And, I think people are quickly finding out that what the world offers is hope is not really hope. It's just, it's false hope. It's maybe it's this or that or whatever, but there's no hope out there in that. You know what I'm saying? And when you talk to people, people are just discouraged and they're going on. And what really boggles my mind is that rather than people turning to God, they seem to just be going on down the road of slaughter, down the wide path. You know, the Bible says it's set away. He says that there's two roads, there's two paths. There's the wide path that leads to destruction. There's the narrow path. It's kind of hard to walk on. It's kind of hard to find. But the narrow path that leads to life and victory. I'm glad y'all are in church this morning. I'm glad whoever's watching this video or listening by audio this morning that y'all are doing that this morning, because at least you're choosing to try to find the narrow path. Christianity is not easy to live, I'll be honest with you. But then, Aunt, let me ask you this. Is anything? I mean, even if you want to just become obese, you still got to go out and buy food. You still got to get some money. You can't even do that. If you're just going to sit, lay on the couch and eat, you got to have some meat. You got to have something to eat. Y'all with me? I went to was with my wife, and she needed to pick up a few groceries. You know how women always say that? I just got a few things to get. And I was kind of feeling kind of like a tightwad yesterday, and so I didn't want to sit in the car with it running. It was too hot to just not have the air conditioner running, so I said, well, I don't want to sit out here. I'll go inside. Man, bad mistake. And so I walked into this large grocery store, and it was in San Antonio, and so it was just full of people, just shoulder to shoulder going through there, and I was like, man, I sort of like having a meltdown. I can't hardly handle it, just every cross-section of humanity is in that place, just arm in arm going for everything, and what's always funny is everybody always starts looking at me like there's something wrong with me. I don't understand that at all. I want to say, you think I'm weird, Betty? Have you looked in the mirror lately? But I guess it's just, you just don't see too many people from the country in the middle of the city. But anyway, the point is that you still have to go fight through the crowd. You still have to fight through to get done what you want done. Nothing comes easy. You're not going to get in shape by thinking about it or watching a video on television. I wish you could. I wish you could just order it. Order the video. Cardiovascular workout. Just watch it. That was good. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. spend 30 minutes walking and go to the doctor and say, man, you're in the best shape I've ever seen. What have you been doing? Oh, I just watch this video. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? You didn't have to go out and sweat. You didn't have to go out and walk. You didn't have to go out and exercise. But anything you're going to do takes work, right? It takes sweat. It takes effort. If you want to be from the best barbecue to the best fisherman to the best whatever, it takes work. Amen. Nothing just falls into. Well, America's gotten to the place where we just want everything handed to us, but you don't get it handed to you. We country people understand what hard work is. You got to work to get there, right? Well, you have to work to understand the Word of God. You have to work to understand the things of God. You have to work and implement the things of God into your life if you want to see results, you want to see success. I talked to so many people today, and it just blows my mind that the world is prayerless. Listen to me, the world is prayerless. They don't pray. Nobody prays. If they do pray, it's a throw-up prayer that you just say, oh, God, you know, we're in trouble. Can you help us here? And then then get mad at God when it didn't happen. But there's an order to the kingdom of God. There is an order to the things of God. If you don't understand the order of the way God does things and you're not walking in that order, listen, you're not going to see your prayers answered. Hello. Y'all with me? I pray about everything. Now, I've said this to y'all before a lot. I don't pray longer than about 10 minutes, but I don't let 10 minutes go by that I'm not praying. In other words, I'm not the kind of guy that wakes up in the morning and can go sit down for 1 hour and just pray. I just don't do that. That's not my style. But I don't ever quit praying. I'm talking to God all the time. When I'm in the truck driving, I'm praying, I'm talking, I'm asking God about the things. I pray about everything. I pray to God to line up my day. I tell God what I see needs to get done, and then how are we going to get it done, Lord, and how's this going to work out? And I just know you're going to bring it about. And then I start speaking faith out of my mouth, because the Bible says if you don't speak faith, you're not walking in faith, you're not going to see anything happening. Hello? It's an order to the kingdom. Well, the sixth order I was talking about, I've been through all these things, but the sixth one that we talked about and we started last week was the church. There's an order. There's an order in the kingdom, and part of the order, the sixth place, is God established a church. And he established a church, and I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about stained glass. I'm not talking about he established. The word church means the ecclesia. It's the gathering of the believers, the people that believe in God, believe in Jesus, coming together, and they form a body. The church is, we just happen to meet here at this place. All right? Doesn't make any difference if we were outside or whatever, but it's the gathering of the body. Is the church. Y'all with me? Now, you know, I'm kind of sissy myself. I like comfort. I'm glad that we got, you know, air conditioning. One time when I was in Botswana, Africa, preaching, they had these locusts or grasshopper, killer grasshopper, locust, demon bugs from hell. Is all I can call what they were. They were the nastiest, most vicious looking critters I've ever seen. I mean, they made those big giant katydids we got flying around right now. They made them look like little Nancy boy bugs. I mean, these things had like spikes on them coming, and they would fly in the services we were preaching, you know. Now, when those things jump on you, boy, I'm telling you, well, you got it off of you quick. They told us they were harmless, but it didn't make any difference. That thing jump on you, and we'd be sitting in the service, and they'd get on some lady. She'd jump up and scream, and I'd think it was the Holy Ghost, but it was just those bugs, you know. I used it all to my advantage, you know. There's a woman. Oh, she's excited about God, you know. She's fighting that thing off or whatever. But I'm glad we got comfort this morning. I'm glad we're sitting in the air conditioner. I'm glad we're not having to fight demon bugs this morning, right? Okay, but the church, the gathering of the body, was of us coming together in here, like there. There's a place for things. And I told you last week what the church is not. The church is not a place of judgment. It's not for us to judge people. The church is never supposed to have judgment in it. Judgment's left to God. The church is not supposed to be a place of condemnation. It's not. We're not supposed to come in here and condemn people. Oh, you hear what they did? We're not a place of condemnation. And the church isn't the place that brings conviction. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to convict people. I believe one of the problems that's wrong with preachers today is preachers are always trying to preach a message that's going to convict everybody, but it's not my job to convict you. It's my job to tell you what the Word of God says, and it's the job of the Holy Spirit to then touch your heart, if you will allow Him to, and convict you of what you're doing is wrong is wrong. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do that. My job's to be the proclaimer. Hello? Hello? Y'all got that? I'm not supposed to be. You say, well, preacher, you really convicted me this morning. I didn't do it. The Holy Ghost did. I just preached the Word. If you got a problem, take it up with Him. He's the one that's making you miserable. It's not me. People always want to get mad at me. Say, oh, that preacher. But it ain't me. I'm just preaching the Word. Now, if I was preaching on the Reader's Digest or I was preaching some crazy doctrine or something like that, well, then that's different. Hello? So it's the Holy Spirit. Okay. But what I want to get into this morning is I want to get into to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, now I'm reading from a Good News translation, so it might be just a little bit different this morning. But it says, there was a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira who sold some property that belonged to them. But with his wife's agreement, he kept back part of the money for himself, and he turned the rest over to the apostles. And Peter said to him, Ananias, why did you let Satan take control of you and make you lie to the Holy Spirit by keeping back part of the money you received for the property? Before you sold the property, it belonged to you, and after you sold it, the money was yours. Why then did you decide to do such a thing? Have you not lied? You have not lied to people, but you have lied to God. And as soon as Ananias heard this, he fell down dead, and all who heard it were terrified. Imagine. Right? I mean, talk about getting called out. Preacher call you out, and you drop dead. Poof. Having church service, have to have the EMS out front just to haul you off. I mean, can you imagine going to church and say, oh, why is EMS there? Is a problem? No, it may be. Depends on what the heart of the people is like today. You know, somebody might, you know, take you out. I mean, that's pretty wild, right? But you got to understand something. What Ananias and Sapphira did, and if you read the rest of the story, his wife came in, same thing happened to her. But what Ananias and Sapphira did was, what's interesting, and this is what the point I want you to see right here. It says, Peter made the point. He said to him, he said, man, what have you done? You're not lying to people. You lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to God about what you were doing. So in other words, everybody in those days, because we read in Acts 2:42, they were sharing everything in common. So they sold this property. And everybody else had been turning everything in, but they didn't want to turn everything in. They wanted to keep it back. Now, there's nothing in the scripture that says you're supposed to give everything. If somebody wanted to do that, that's their own business between them and God and the conviction of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't have anything to do with the church or doctrine. I can't preach that. It's ridiculousness. But Ananias and Sapphira, it was theirs, and the money was theirs. That's what Peter said. But they wanted to look good in the people's eyes, right? And so they said, oh yeah, this is all, we brought it. And they made this big show of it. And if you see what it says there, it says, why did you let Satan take control of you? Now, you remember another story when they were at the Last Supper with Jesus and Judas? Jesus turned to Judas and he said, what you going to do, do quickly. And it says, and then Satan entered his heart right then. Folks, you got to understand something. We're in a battle. We're in a war. The devil wants to take over the church. The devil wants to stop the church. He wants it to end. He wants it to die. I'm talking about not a building. I'm talking about a group of believers coming together, hearing the Word of God and growing and encouraging and loving one another, not being a church of judgment. He wants that stopped. He doesn't want that to take place, because if it takes place, then that means you're going to be excited. You're going to tell more people, and more people are going to hear, and more people are going to know about Jesus, and less people are going to go to hell. Hello? Y'all with me? Everybody out there? He wants it stopped. You have an enemy. You coming to church this morning put yourself in a position that the devil doesn't like that. I mean, we got to wake up, church. I am an old-fashioned preacher. I do believe in some old-fashioned things, like the Bible's true, that God is real, that there is a hell, that there is a judgment for those that aren't right. Wow, I'm an American too. I believe the Constitution's right. Leave it alone. Quit messing with it. I believe that the United States is founded upon godly principles, and that's why we have success. Leave it alone. You change it, you're going to get in a mess. People want to tell us the Bible's outdated, and they won't tell us the Constitution's outdated. Get off of it. You're wrong. But the problem is that people don't realize that you're in a battle, you're in a war. Listen to me, folks. Every day, whether you realize it or not, you're in a fight. You're in a fight to see if you're going to advance the kingdom of God in your life, or is the devil going to take ground in your life? You say, oh, no, you know, Pastor, man, I ain't giving no place to the devil. But you got to understand this. The only way the devil can stop church or hinder church, throw stumbling blocks in front of the church, is that he's got to use people. He's looking for agents of hell. Look at the person beside you and say, are you a secret agent? He's looking for agents of hell. He's looking for people that will cooperate with the devil. Now, you got to understand something. You know, you see and hear, you know, maybe not so much around here, but it is out there in the world about Satanists and all this kind of stuff like this and the rituals and all this kind of stuff like this. I'm not talking about going home and brewing up a cauldron and cutting up with some black cats and going to that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about the devil sowing seeds in your mind. And then you giving place to those seeds and speaking it out. His tactics, the devil's tactics, have always been the same. Okay? He wants to come in, he wants to deceive your heart so he can fill it with lies. The very first place, number one, the very first place that the enemy's going to come in is he's going to kind of get you to come in and lie to yourself. If you look in the mirror, I don't care who in this world told you that you're stupid. But if you looked in the mirror this morning and he said, God, you are so stupid. You were just become an agent from hell. You were a secret agent man from hell who just are perpetrating what the devil wants upon yourself. You're lying to yourself because that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that he has precious thoughts towards you. The Word of God says he has so many thoughts towards you that they cannot number the sand of the sea. The Word of God says that you're an overcomer and that you're more than a conqueror. The Word of God says that God is for you and he's not against you. So if you're listening to the lie and you're lying to yourself, then you are actually taking what the devil, what he's promoting, and you're taking it and you're feeding it back to yourself and you're lying to yourself. You're actually an agent from hell to yourself. Look at the person beside you and say, wow. Do you know that your biggest issue and problems in life is you? You say, that's that husband I married. That sucks. Sorry, sorry. It's you. It's you. It's your thoughts. It's where you've allowed the devil to put seeds of doubt and unbelief in your heart and in your mind. And listen to me. When I was in school, before they knew about what dyslexia was much or anything, and I made it to the second grade, and I was doing math, and I was doing math, and the teacher would tell the problem, and I'd look up on the board, and I'd see the number, you know, 34 plus 24, and I would write down 43 plus 42. And I would do the problem, and my answer was correct, but it was the wrong problem. Y'all with me? It wasn't that I didn't have the intelligence to add or subtract, it's just that I could not get it off of the board down onto a piece of paper and it'd be the right numbers. I'd reverse them. And nobody caught this. Nobody knew what was going on. And I never forget it. One day the teacher brought me outside, turned me around and said, you know, what is the matter with you? Are you just stupid? Can you not write those problems down? And when those words hit my heart, I immediately went into me, sewed into me that I was stupid. And that day I shut down and I never want to have anything to do with school again. I never wanted to work, never wanted to accomplish anything, never wanted to do anything, never wanted to do anything. I was scared to do any of the work. I became obstinate and rebellious and ready to fight the world. And it wasn't until after I got saved, you know, I'll be honest with you, I never read a book in my life. I never read a book. I made it through 12 years of school and never read a book. I have a library over there. I was going through this morning, my own personal library. It's over 500 books that I've read since I've been saved that I just became ravenous to read and to learn after I got saved. But before that, I never read a book. Oh, I'd do a book report. I'd do it on Cochise. It was the smallest book in the library. Read the first few pages in the back, you know, and make up the rest. And then after I got saved, all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, this is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, and I'm more than a conqueror. The Word of God says, and I'm an overcomer. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, so it's not my strength, it's your strength. Lord, you want to show me how to do this? You want to help me out? I had a man during my high school years that found out what was wrong with me and began to say, well, Robert, if you've got this weakness because of what you're doing with your numbers, you got to have a strength. Let's just find out what your strength was. And he found out my strength was memorization, that I could memorize, you know, numbers and stuff instantly. And so then I started doing everything in life by memory. Today, everything I do is by memory. Everything I preach is by memory. All the scriptures I know, everything I commit it to memory. It's my strength. I built my strength for the weakness. My wife does a checkbook. Because I'll still do it. The tighter I get, the more I start reversing things. But you know what? I just memorize everything. And if I ever tell her a number, she says, what was that number? And I tell her, and if it wasn't right, she says, that's not it. Then I said, well, just turn them around. It'll be in there somewhere. I've got the right numbers. It's made right in the right sequence, order. But they're right. They're there somewhere, you know. The point I'm trying to say, church, is it takes work. You have to work at it. The devil wants you to, he's going to start out, the very first thing he's going to do, he's going to sow seeds of doubt and unbelief in you. He's going to try to get you to start lying to yourself. The second thing then he's going to do is he's going to take it. This is what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They first lied to themselves. Well, if we don't turn in everything, everybody's going to look at us and they're going to say that we didn't really do what was going to be good and we don't have to put up that. So the opinion of man got them to lie then to others. That's the second stage, is you want to start lying to others. You start becoming something that you're not and lying to others because you don't want to be exposed because you've already lied to yourself. Are y'all following me in this? It's a progression that the enemy wants to do to you because he wants to shut the church down. He does not want you to go to church. He does not want you to speak the Word of God. He does not want you to read your Bible. He does not want you to pray because he doesn't want anything to happen. Now, if the enemy's going to this much work to keep it from happening, then does that mean that there is a glorious church, that there is a powerful church, that there is power in the name of Jesus? Hello? If he's working so hard to keep it from happening, man, if it ever got turned loose and turned on, what a miracle place it'd be. So he gets you to lie to yourself, then he gets you to lie to others, and then the third thing that happens is then as you begin to start lying to God. Because you've convinced yourself and you've convinced others, and so now all you have to do is convince him. But the problem is it never works because he knows everything. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's going on. You can't lie to God. But what I believe happened with Ananias is when he brought it over to start to doing that the Holy Ghost had such severe judgment on them because the church was just starting. It was just flowing. Everybody was there, was full of faith and full of God and the things that were going on. And it cost him his life at that moment because of where he was and what he did. Listen to me. Can I give y'all just a little bit of suggestion? All right? I don't care who they are. I don't care what they do. If you hear of pastors that are in trouble or pastors that are falling or pastors that are doing something, just pray for them. Do not get into judgment. Do not get into judgment over churches and denominations. Don't do it. Do not mess with the church. Don't do it. It'll cost you. It'll cost you greatly. Leave it alone. Let God deal with it. Pray for them and just go on. It isn't worth getting wrapped up in. People have asked me, so what about churches that are, you know, doing this and doing that and whatever? I said, man, that's their business. It's between them and God. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to just keep doing what we know to do and keep going forward, and I'm not going to get involved in that because you can't, folks. You don't want to find yourself in an argument and a fight with God. You'll lose. Y'all with me? Okay, and you can look over it in John 8:44. Let's talk about this. Why is he trying to get you to lie? Listen, just think about this. Why is the devil trying to get you to lie? Because the Bible says he is the father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus said about the devil, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." If you're not walking in truth, you're walking in a lie. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're not walking in truth, you're walking in a lie or a non-truth. Y'all with me? Now, you know, there's things people argue about that makes no sense to me. Like, is this the best kind of paper or not? You know, nobody knows what this is, the best car to drive or not. This is the best TV to buy or not. You know, have you ever noticed, they always say, write a review about something. You go read the reviews. And in the reviews, you've got, this one loved it, that one hated it, this one loved it, that one doesn't know, this one hated it, this one's not sure, whatever. It goes right down through it, right? You get an answer from everybody about everything. You know what the best thing to go do is? Find out for yourself. Find out for yourself. What is good and what's not good. Hello? The devil is the father of lies. He doesn't speak the truth, so he's trying to get people out of truth. He is the father of lies. He wants to get you involved in a lie, no matter what lie it is. He wants to get you off just a little, and then he wants to get you a little more and a little more. And then when he gets you far enough off, you'll do it yourself. You'll just keep going off and keep going off and keep going off. Why do you think the enemy wants there to be offenses? Why do you think the devil has to get you to get offended or to get you to see something or to get something exposed? Why do you think he wants to do that? Because he doesn't want you to go to church, and he doesn't want you to read your Bible, and he doesn't want you to serve God. He wants you to think and come to the conclusion that all Christians are hypocrites and there's no sense going to church. And then when you do that, he's like, well, we don't have to worry much about them anymore. Have y'all seen these shows where there's like this obstacle course going on, and you know, and the people are trying to go through this obstacle course, and the thing moves, and then they get on farther down the obstacle course, and they're like throwing balls at them and shooting things out of water cannons at them and trying to trip them up, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? No? There's things out there like that. Take my word for it if you've never seen it. Every time I see it, I just think, I look at it and I say, man, that is the enemy. That's the Christian on the path trying to get there. And that is the enemy just shooting everything he can, putting every obstacle, throwing things in their way, just trying to make it slippery, trying to just do whatever to get you to fall. Now, the sad thing is when Christians join the devil in doing the same thing to other Christians. And you know why that happens? Y'all still with me? The doors are locked. You can't leave anyway. You know why that happens? Is because we don't want to change. We just want to bring everybody down to our level. It's always easier to pull somebody down to where you are than for you to rise up to go where they are. So it's a human nature of our fallen state to just bring people down rather than let those person inspire us to be more. Y'all with me? So if we don't think we're going to win, we get over on the enemy side and start throwing stones, throwing obstacles, putting things out there in the path to try to trip them up. So that when they fall, we say, see, yeah, they ain't any better than I am. Instead of being the people that come along and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to follow into the lie of the enemy. We're going to all win. We're going to all succeed. And I'm going to be the best person that God wants me to be. And I'm on my path, and I'm going down my path, and I'm going over here, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Y'all with me? Because the minute the devil gets to sow the lie into you and you've believed the lie, then you're going to keep sowing that lie to yourself, which then gets you to lie to others, which then eventually gets you to start lying to God. He's the father of it. He's perfected this. Folks, listen to me. You got to give the devil credit that he has perfected this in people. He's found our weakness. He knows what our weakness is. He'll sit there and get it figured out in your life, and he's going to do it all by a lie. The second place I want you to see here, go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil is a father of lies, but he is also a deceiver. Right? There's no truth in him, so he's a deceiver. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, "Then the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophets have already been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And his followers, their fate's sealed." Listen to me. Their fate's sealed. The devil's fate is sealed. He loses. Do you hear what I'm saying? The devil's fate is sealed. He loses. But he is a deceiver, and the reason why he's trying to deceive people because he wants to take as many with him and get as many people off course as he possibly can. Now, I believe this with all of my heart. I'll use my buddy Ernie as an example. Okay. Ernie over there, he's a great cook, great barbecue guy. Chicken cooking king. Trophy chicken cooking king. Okay? But in his life, and he lives, you know, he goes to a lot of contests, does barbecuing, okay? Now, I believe with all of my heart, it's what I think, that God had a call on Ernie's life. He's thrown obstacles, and the enemy's thrown obstacles and things in his path to get him not to serve so that he'd go to a barbecue cook-off, because he was going to do it anyway, whether he was saved or not saved, because that's his nature and that's what he likes to do. And he'd go, but he would be a bitter, ugly, mean, drunk fool. And everybody that got around him, he'd sow seeds of doubt and unbelief and just be an agent from hell. But God had a different plan. God wanted him. Ernie gave his heart to Jesus. He made a change in life. He turned around. He goes, and he's an agent for heaven. But he doesn't get to see all of what happens in life, the seeds that he sows and the people's lives that he touches. You don't ever always get to see that. And the enemy knows that if he didn't do what he's supposed to do, that there would be people that wouldn't hear the gospel. So if he can get him to not do his job, then he keeps people from hearing the gospel. Folks, every one of you, in some way or another, God wants to use you to promote the gospel. And when you don't do it, then someone is not hearing. And the devil is happy. It's a sobering fact. But if you're not being an agent from heaven, then you're an agent from hell. And what you're spewing out of your mouth is either bringing people closer to God or sowing good seed into them so that they will find themselves closer to God, or it's taking them towards hell. If the things that come out of your mouth spew judgment, wrath, condemnation out of your mouth, then the people that you're around, you just sowed that into them, that that just gave the devil a place to start working. Look at the person beside you and say, "Wow, it's heavy." When I'm not I've just learned this, because I'm not always in a good humor. There's some days I just can't pray myself happy. I don't understand it. Maybe I have some sort of a chemical imbalance. I don't know what the deal is, but there's just some days, man, I'm just not too nice. And I have learned over those days to just shut up. Because at least I'm not going to be an agent from hell that day. So I just shut up and don't say anything. Now that's, you may say, "That's a hard thing for you to do, Robert." No, not really. Outside this pulpit, I can sit in my truck. I could go 10 or 12 hours and never say a word. I will pray, I will speak, I will pray in tongues, I will do whatever, I will do whatever, but I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. When I want to gripe and complain and point and fingers and just let it rip because that's what I'm really feeling like that day, I just shut up. I just won't talk. At least I don't want to advance the kingdom of hell. It's a good lesson for us all to learn. Okay? Because if I don't want to, if I can't advance heaven, I don't want to advance hell. I stay away from people. I don't go places in public. If I'm like that, because I may slip. I don't want to slip. I don't want to lead anybody down that path. I just shut up. Don't say nothing. Folks, listen to me. Being quiet can be a virtue. Because the enemy wants to deceive us. He wants to use us to be like those people. And we've gotten off the track and we've gotten on the other side. And now we're throwing obstacles at the Christian that's trying to walk and causing them problems. And we didn't even realize what we're doing. Now, the third thing about the enemy. The third thing is that fear is his throne. Think about this. If anything in your life you are in fear of, somewhere the enemy has sowed something in your life to bring you to that place. I'm not saying we should start petting snakes. All right? I'm not saying we're going there and talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about in your life, if you can't go out in public because you feel like you're not worthy, well, then the enemy sowed that doubt in you. He sowed a lie to you that's causing that to happen, and you're operating in fear. You've got to destroy that place of fear. You've got to destroy that seed that has been sown in you that is not of heaven. Are you with me? You hearing what I'm saying? If you're operating in fear, oh God, we're not going to make it this month. Well, then you don't believe what Matthew 6 says, that God said he'd take care of you. Well, then, see, there's an order to everything in the kingdom. You say, well, I don't know if God's going to take care of me. I didn't pay my tithe this month. Well, obviously you've got something wrong with your financial thinking. Get it in order so you don't have to be that way. Or say, well, I don't want to. I'm scared. I don't want to. I don't want to go talk to God because I'm scared he's going to be mad at me. Well, then repent before you go talk to him. He said he'd forgive you. See, get things in order, and when you've got things in order, you can have confidence towards God. Folks, I'm to the place in my life, and I'm not saying this like, oh, look at me, because I got lots of issues and things I'm working on. But there's some realms that God's given me some real insight on. If I pray over certain things and it doesn't happen, then I'm praying. I know right off the bat it's wrong. Because every time I pray when I'm right, I see it happen fairly quick. And it usually doesn't make any difference what it is. If I need somebody to call me on the phone, I'll pray and they'll call. Or if I'm trying to get something, somebody's supposed to be sending me something and it's not happening, and I call them and say, hey, you know, I'm not getting something, you know, and it's not happening, I'll just start praying about it. I say, Lord, okay, this, and there's a deal out there, this, whatever, this needs to get into my hands, and they said it was going to get to my hands right now, and I just commit this to you, I put it in your hands. Lord, you're going to make this happen. You're going to bring it to pass. It'll be on your timetable, but I'm just going to take confidence right now. It's going to take place. You're going to do it. Just a few minutes, phone will ring. Somebody say, hey, were you supposed to have a package delivered? Wish I'd have done this earlier. But I'm just telling you, there's an order to the kingdom. And the devil wants you to walk in because fear is his throne. So he wants you to walk in fear because fear is the opposite of faith. That's his whole root. So if you've got an area of your life that there's fear in, then he's trying to keep you from being productive in the church and at your life. And he's going to try to stop that and shut that down. And you've got to root it out. Listen to me. If I had it, if I had the pixie dust that I could throw all over y'all and everybody didn't have any problems and everything was great, I'd do it, but I don't. All I got's the word, which is plenty enough for you to start applying to your life. Don't listen. Don't live in fear. Fear's of the devil. One of the mottos and one of the things of my life is I ain't going to speak fear. I'm not going to speak fear because I just know the fear's of the enemy. I ain't going to speak fear. Oh, I've got some real issues and some real concerns about the future and the things of America and where we're going and all that, but I ain't going to speak fear about it. My God, man, supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I got stories in the Bible where water comes out of a rock. We got plenty of rock around here. Yeah, I got stories where they ate a gourd that was poison and then they just poured some salt into it and it all fed everybody. We can find an old gourd around here. I mean, are we going to be Bible-believing Christians or are we going to say, oh, well, that was in the old days and they didn't want to have it on the earth? I don't know. They don't know. Me. Man, it's either true or it's not. Either God did or he didn't. I like the story where they're all out. The little kids are out teasing Elisha about being bald-headed and she-bear came out and ate him. Watch it. It happened. If I was like preaching in Alaska, man, that would be my story. That would be my sermon. Since we're pretty far from she bears, I. Of course, it could have been a woman. Could have been their mother. Never mind. I'm alone. Fear is his throne. Any place in your life you're in fear, you're not in faith, you've got a seed of the devil in you, get it out. If you speak fear out of your mouth, you're an agent from hell. I said it. That changes things, doesn't it? You're an agent from hell. Just to say that, it sounds horrible. Right? I mean, if husbands and wives, y'all keep reminding each other, so when y'all are sitting there blabbering this stuff and said, oh, are you enjoying being an agent from hell? I mean, that'll wake you up on it. It's like, what? We'll start singing the song, Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. If you've never heard that song, you're too young. Okay, so what is our answer? What's our answer? James chapter 4, verse 6. Gives us our answer. 6 and 7. He said he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. It's called resisting. How do you resist? You know, how do you resist? Right? No matter what it is, how do you resist? You say no. Is that not the way you resist? No. That's how you resist. You tell the devil no. You say, listen, I don't believe in that. Wait a minute. When you catch yourself and you say, wait a minute. What am I saying? What am I thinking here? You're just trying to make me an agent from hell. No, I don't believe that. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, or the Word of God says that. Then you have resisted the devil, and then he has to flee. So, yeah, but he comes back. Well, if you bust his ears enough time, he'll quit in that area. I want it to be that, you know, and this is scriptural. When the sons of Sceva went to cast the devil out, the demons said to them, they said, Paul we know, or Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? So they were known, Paul and Jesus were known in hell. I want to be known in hell. I wanted to know that the devil that gets assigned to me that day to try to sow something in me knows that he's coming up against me. I want him to know that when he comes up against me, I am going to do everything I can to hurt him and resist him, and I want him to know it's not going to be an easy job. There are mornings that I have to wake up and just say, listen, hey, you want a piece of me? I'm telling you, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to hurt you. Say, Pastor, you're crazy. I am. It's the way you win. I've had to come walk in the church, you know, and just get up behind the pulpit here and turn around and say, I ain't leaving. You want a piece of me? I'm here forever. I'll stay here. I'll die behind this pulpit preaching the word of God. Because you have to fight the enemy. You have to resist the enemy. And then I'll find somebody to go do something good for. Because I know he just hates it. He just hates it. The devil hates it. I'll call somebody up and start encouraging. I'll say, I'll go over my whole phone today. I'll call everybody in my phone. I have 648 people listening on my deal. I'll call every one of them and give them an encouraging word. If you don't shut up, leave me alone. Oh, by the way, I'm not making a bargain with you. I want to do it anyway. Are y'all with me? See, you got to fight. You got to fight dirty. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to parlay and compromise with the devil. So I'm telling him, I'm going to hurt you if you're going to go mess around with me. You have to resist. That's all you have to do is resist. Get some fight in you. Resist. You want to say something ugly to your wife because she did something you're not happy with? And you stop and think, listen, I don't want to be an agent from hell. So I need to find, what does the word say about this situation? Go find the word. Go over there and get her and say, I want to tell you something. Give you something encouraging today. Give her an encouraging word. Speak good things. Say, hey, there. How about that? But I don't want to do that, Pastor. I want to fight. Well, go ahead. Be agents from hell, and what are you going to get? Hell. I need to call me up and say, oh, Pastor, my marriage is terrible. I don't know why. Can you pray for me? I don't know why God's not been praying, asking God to change that man. I don't know why he's not. Maybe you've been an agent of hell. So, doubt and unbelief in their life. I'm just preaching good word to you today to help you all out. I mean, y'all are really starting to look scary at me now. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I've got to preach the truth. And we're in such a dire state in the world right now. If I don't preach the truth to y'all, if it doesn't get out over audio and video and people get out there and hear it and get out there, I don't know what's going to happen to the world because nobody's grabbing hold of truth. Nobody's clinging to truth. Everybody prays to God and said, oh, God, help me. But they're just being agents from hell over here. How can he help when you won't resist? Are you all with me? I'm not through, but I feel like I beat y'all up so much. I got to give you something. One last word. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to finish up here. I'm not beating you up. I'm just preaching the word. If you feel beat up, it's the Holy Ghost that did it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross so that the body of believers could come together and have church or be church? He died on the cross. The whole time in his heart knew that there'd be a day that he had come and release the Holy Spirit on the face of the earth so that believers could come together and love each other and grow, find out the things of God, be encouraged and blessed, and he'd call it church. That was a thought on his mind when he was dying on the cross. He loves the church. I believe there's churches that are established by God and there's churches that are established by man. The churches that are established by God preach the word, they flourish, they do good works, they rescue widows and orphans, they do what the word tells them to do, and truth is preached. Churches that are established by man are social clubs. Gather together the people to appease their conscience and that's it. If you did not get convicted in this church, then I'm not preaching the word. But if I'm preaching the word and the Holy Spirit convicts you, talks to you, tells you things, encourages you, during the middle of worship, God touches your heart, blesses you, then you know what? You're doing good. You're in the right place. Hello? Because you got to hear from heaven. Folks, this is about getting in shape for Jesus. Like I said, you can't go watch a video and then just get you in shape. You got to go to work. It takes work. You got to pump iron. You got to do all kinds of horrible things. Sweat and do poof, to be in shape. Ain't no other way. Takes effort. But everything takes effort. When I was a kid, this is the last one, when I was in high school, I always looked, since I didn't want to do anything in school, I looked for the easiest classes to take. And so I took a typing class. You know, I figured I'd really need that in being a cowboy. And took a typing class, and man, I was just, you know, I guess it wasn't horrible. I mean, like I worked up to like, what is it, 10 words a minute or something like that, you know? You know, I was hanging in there trying to do it. But it's old typewriters, those old manuals. You know, I got one of those old manuals. I didn't get no electric typewriter. And, you know, shortly the typing teacher came to me and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you don't seem to have any capacity to do this, and why? And, you know, so anyway, one thing led to another. And so I never learned to type. Nowadays, with computers and stuff like this, you know, it's amazing how much I need that skill. And he told me then, Robert, you never need that. Why are you taking typing? You'll never need that. That's a long story of the thing. I left the typing class, went in there and started developing photos for him because he also did the annual yearbook, but we got to horsing around and broke a 5-gallon bottle of Fix, and I got thrown out of everything and had to go to home economics with all the girls. And that was the best class I ever took in my life. But I've thought about that so many times. When I sit down and I thought, that man, because he didn't see the future. You see, he didn't see the future. He had no idea we'd go to the things and the electronics that we have today. He didn't see the future, and he told me. He said, "What? You'll never need it." And had I, you know, just my life would have been as a rancher, and I'd have never gotten saved and never gone to pastoring, and I guess I would use less, and, you know, you can type with your thumbs and, you know, slow, but whatever. But I never learned it. And I can't today sit down on a typewriter. All I can ever remember is ASDF, but that's only one hand. I can't remember what the other one is. Are y'all with me? I didn't prepare for the future. I horsed around and did not take the class and did not learn it. And I did not prepare for the future, and it's hindered me. Well, the same thing in your own Christian walk. If you have not prepared for Christianity and living for God and fighting the enemy and resisting the devil, and you've not prepared yourself, well, then you're going to find yourself in a fight. And when you're in that fight, I mean, you're over here just going ASDF, 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 because that's all you knew. That's the only prayer you got. It's the ASDF prayer, you know? That's all you learned, as far as you got. We're all in training. Right? We're in training. We're in learning. You've got to have time set aside to read your Bible. You've got to have time set aside to pray. You've got to have time to have a relationship with Jesus. You've got to set it aside. There is no excuse. You're not going to make it through life typing with one hand. I'm not going to do it. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I don't think you're really an agent from hell. Some of you are like, yeah, right. I'm not going to say that, Pastor, because I'd be lying. Oh, God help us. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. I think the only thing that we can do right now in order to leave this service and feel good is to take just a moment and just let's pray and let's just repent for all the times that we've been agents of hell. Can I have an amen? Because we all have been. We all have done it. And so let's just look into our hearts right now. Let's just ask God to forgive us. And then we're going to take this knowledge we've got today and we're going to apply it into our lives so we can walk in victory. Amen? Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just come before you. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that's been spoken today. I thank you for it going out and hitting our ears and hitting our hearts. And Lord, we do not want to be agents of hell. Lord, we want to be agents of heaven. We want to be advancing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And Lord, a lot of times we've just learned wrong and we've allowed the enemy to sow seeds in our minds. And we've lied to ourselves and we've lied to others and we've even tried lying to you. And for all that, Lord, we repent right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that we've let things come out of our mouth that wasn't right. Lord, we just ask you to forgive us. That by the power of your Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to change us. Lord, today let the eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let us know the hope of the calling and to be able to come to a full awareness of who we are and what you've called us to be, Lord. That here at Living Waters Church that we can be everything you've called us to be, that we can reach this area for you and around this world for you, Lord. That the gifts and the promises that are within each and every one of our lives will not be hindered and stumbled, Lord God, because of what we say and the fear that we would walk in. Lord, I pray for all those Christian brothers and sisters who have been being the ones throwing obstacles and logs in front of us that are trying to go forward. I just pray for them that they'd come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just continue to open our eyes and continue just to show us. Ooh, Lord, just show us everything that we're to be doing. So, Lord, I just pray over everyone right now. I just declare, Lord, right now that we're going to go out into this world. We're going to go out into this world and we're going to be the men and women of God that we're to be. That this week we're going to run across people and we're going to encourage them. We're going to speak good over their lives. We're going to bless them, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, do something right here before you leave. Grab that person's hand right beside you. Grab their shoulder right there and look at them and say, you're going to make it. Come on. Look at the person. Look at them and say, you're going to make it. Look around at somebody around you and say, you're going to make it. Amen. Amen. Now, can I have the prayer team come down? If you're here today and you're going to prayer team, or if you're here today and you need prayer, listen, we're here for you. We want to pray with you. I want you just to go out and to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. But if you need prayer down here today, we're here for you. So come on down. God bless you. Go out there and get them.